Today is Monday, January 30th, 2017, and it's the end of the world as we know it and the end of the news, certainly, perhaps, but indeed it is the end of the news as we know it. It's really time to take that giant leap into another, I would be pleased to say, a new radical format of news, simply because we all have to do whatever it takes, and we have to do it in a unified way that lends strength and energy to the message right now. The message is not good. Let's just say that right up front. It's Steve Bannon sitting in a national security meetings. This is so far beyond the pale. This presages such constitutional disaster. It's very difficult at this point to find words. Over the weekend, protests across the nation, and they were dismissed by Trump. The disturbances at the airport, instead of being reported, were attributed to a problem with Delta Airlines' computer. Can you imagine saying such a thing and having it believed by a large proportion of the American people? That this is just it's unthinkable. It really is, and we ought to be, but we ought to be thinking. We ought to be perhaps unthinking, in a sense of reversing, what we've been told, backtracking, and attempting to understand why he said it first off, and how it was received by his ardent followers on one side, the true believers. And in my life, beware of the true believers has always been good advice. But that said, Steve Bannon, in a position of such extraordinary power, just mere months ago, no matter how pessimistic one might have been about a Trump presidency, nonetheless, this is unthinkable. We're going to have Lana Jack in today, coming from Standing Rock, where wherever she goes, there is a radical message being delivered simply by her presence and her white hot rage at the lies, hypocrisy, and broken laws, broken treaties that she addresses. She'll be here shortly. We're going to talk about Standing Rock and how Standing Rock presaged, foretold a new type of resistance, a new form of activism, a new way to resist. Okay, is it maybe new to the majority white population, but this type of resistance is not new to First Nations. First Nations peoples have basically woven this form of resistance out of whole cloth. And it has been used over the centuries, despite a full-on attack on the part of the white, I guess you must say the supremacists, because in the sense and the way that Americans are related to First Nations people, it has always been white supremacist. The term white supremacist means different things, depending on who is using it and to whom it is applied. But the Standing Rock, Standing Rock is now everywhere, and everywhere that people have the courage to bring it. Lana, of course, does indeed have the courage to bring it. So we want to talk today a little bit about this type of First Nations resistance and why it is essential that we learn from Standing Rock, apply the lessons of Standing Rock to the type of resistance that is going to be required now if we are going to stand up to Donald Trump and his Steve Bannons, which no doubt will pop up like moles all over the landscape. No disrespect. no disrespect to moles, they're good little creatures. Nonetheless, Steve Bannons are going to be beginning to appear. And the way to address the problem is as old as First Nations people. So on that said, I want to welcome Lana Jack, the Salina Wyom, to the KBO Airways. And I want to talk a little bit about how Standing Rock is the path forward for the resistance.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Standing Rock, it has become all of ours at this point. It began, and its origin is, of course, in Cannonball, North Dakota, with the original people of that land, starting with LaDonna Allard of Sacred Stone. Sacred Stone was the origin of the liberation camp. And from Sacred Stone formed the Rosebud Camp and the Ochete Shikoe Camp. And Ochete Shikoe is probably the larger of the three known camps. Recently, at a meeting with the tribal people and tribal council at the administration office in Standing Rock, it was delineated only as Sacred Stone, not Ochete Shikoe, not Rosebud, that the origin of the entire liberation camp was Sacred Stone, which is headed by LaDonna Allard. At the same time, Ochete Shikoe, now also known as Ochete Oyate, the All Nations camp, the largest of them all, is now occupied by many, many nations. It's no longer just an Indian encampment of water protectors, but the water protectors are of all nations. So now the camp is called Ochete Oyate, All Nations Camp.
It seems to. Let me just quickly ask a question here, because we want to talk about what we learn from Standing Rock. And how we could take that and apply it to the kind of resistance that we are going to need so desperately in the days going forward. That type of courage is the courage that we need. How did you share the lessons of Standing Rock and even amplify the voices to and use that to, well, I guess the best way to say it is to save the nation as a whole from a madman and his cohorts of extraordinarily violent people.
Well, these particular leaders that I'm naming off over at the Ochete Shikoe and Standing Rock, as everybody knows it, it's just Standing Rock. And Standing Rock is actually a separate entity as I break it down in its own. It's the tribal people of that land. And the villages have taken on different names. And so the resistance to even be able to stand has become even to the point where they're having to resist even their own tribal people. The Standing Rock administration is asking these camps to leave, these liberation camps. If there's any lesson in learning about resistance, it's that the Indian people of this land have been oppressed for so many 500 years. I mean, let's just put it out there. In so many different ways, mostly through institutionalization and militarization. And as that comes to the forefront for today's people all across this land, people are beginning to understand a little bit more what our people have been going through, and it doesn't allow people to slip off to their own little isolated or their marginalization of Indian people as, you know, drunk, lazy, good for nothing. I mean, the list goes on there. Our people have been surviving under these circumstances for so long that even being out at Standing Rock, seeing the internal separation of powers through the people who are on ground over there and people who are from the land, the tribal administration, it's really difficult to see, but it's actually, you know, it's something that's internalized from the way that we were institutionalized as a people. The internalization of exclusion is probably now our biggest crime against ourselves as Indian people, is that we are so exclusive that we have no room for inclusivity, and it's pretty sad. It's a breach of communication, and it breaks down so much. As I stood out in Standing Rock and basically was on survival mode for the last couple of months, I didn't have any support. Nobody, well, thank you, Chris. I can't say nobody. Chris has been so helpful and has helped me as many times as she can with what she can and my time out there. But like most people, we just don't have the resources and the means of being able to take care of ourselves. And everybody says, come out. But, you know,
And more and more the American people, more and more the American people have come to, are beginning to experience some of what First Nations people have experienced for, well, 500 years, as you put it very specifically. So now is the time for the, to learn the strategies and the tactics, and in fact, the indigenous systems of justice. Mm-hmm. That First Nations have used taking thousands of years of this and applying it to the most recent 500 years, and now we take it a step further, and Standing Rock is you and so many people who as voices of they attempt to silence and put down voices like as yours and so many others, even amongst your own people at times. This is what we need to see if we're going to stand up to Trump. We need to see it. I want to say see it loud and clear, because that's really what is called for at this point. How do we white people, whites, how do we take the lessons of Standing Rock, the strategies and tactics that were applied there with huge success in the last minute that we have the show today? But listeners, we are going to be recording some of this and we'll put it up on the website, so you'll get lots more. How do we take the strategies and tactics and apply that to the current situation with Trump and Ben?
Well, I'd have to say on my own personal perspective on that note is that, you know, honestly, I thought we were really headed towards the direction of reconciliation, and that's conciling truths of the first people of this land, and that's not an easy place for people to have an ear or an heart to, but I have found that as we come into this place of reconciliation and restoration of people back to their lands, the first people back to their lands and the first people back to their promises, because that's what's being addressed here, is broken promises and stolen lands and federal Indian law that just, you know, so easily dismissed. But as we begin to break through with some of the truths, I just say pray for the nations, pray for our elders who are still carrying the stories of being taken away from their families and the families that are still affected by that. That's what reconciliation is.
Thank you so much for that, Anna. This is definitely the time for your words to be heard loud and clear across the country, and we do need to develop a reform of new forms of resistance, new ancient forms of resistance, if we are going to survive and triumph over this this administration. This has been Cascadia for Monday, January 30th, 2017. Derek Crooks, engineer today, is also the AM News and Public Affairs Director, Lana Jack, Salala Wayam, voices of First Nations peoples. I am Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.